Good evening, everyone. We continuing our series, Psalms, Tehillim. So far, we made all together 86 different chapters. We now today we get to chapter 87. Hopefully, we'll be able to go past the 90 today. And the last week lecture, we spoke about Kol goyim asher asita yavo v'ishtachavu lefanecha Hashem. All the nations you created, God, will come and bow down to you and will give you respect. Speaking about days that when the Mashiach would come, everyone would acknowledge who is the God, who is the real nation, who is the chosen people, what's the real religion. We spoke about it a few times in this series. In these days, when we see the stupidity of the leaders of the world and how naive they are and how they are afraid to deal with the consequences and the danger to the life of billions, this becomes more realistic. When you review the world today, besides the Israeli leaders that see the picture realistically, because obviously the sword is on the neck of Israel, when you deal with Iran and the nuclear and a country that declares so many times that they have a goal to destroy Israel, a country that sponsors almost all the terrorism in the world, the Hamas, the Hezbollah, many other terror organizations, Syria, Assad gassing his people, taking over half of the Middle East already, showing that they have an agenda, they're not hiding their plan, invested billions and billions of dollars in nuclear facilities. After all that, the world is so naive to sit with them and make an agreement which is completely worthless. It's enough you read 1 minute, the beginning of this stupid agreement, to see that it's hard to believe and hard to trust the leaders of the world. Because people with no brain, how can they be the leaders of countries? I give you one example. There's no time to talk about it because it's not our topic. I'll just give you one example. One of the provisions in the contract that they made with them is that if they want to come and visit one of the nuclear facilities, they have to give them 24 days notice before. They cannot surprise them. They have to tell them in 24 days from now we're coming to visit, which gives them enough time to clear the entire country of Iran if they want. Not only that facility, they can take over half of Iran in 24 days. Do you understand how foolish these leaders are? That alone shows you that this agreement is completely worthless. Plus, to begin with, the entire negotiation was for 10 years. That's it. Even if it was a good agreement, if all the conditions in the agreement were good and solid and you can enforce it, it would be only for 10 years. So are we going to die in 10 years? If not now, in 10 years? What did it help the world? Did it not solve the problem? It's like, giving a patient some medicine that instead of dying next week, he'll die in 2 weeks. No, Baruch Hashem. Better than nothing. But there's another way. What was the other way? To make the sanctions 100 times worse. Until no one there would have what to eat. No medicine, no nothing, no gas, no nothing, nothing. Choke the country completely. What would happen in the end? The citizen of Iran will make a revolution against this foolish regime. You brought a tragedy on us. What do we need nuclear? We want to be able to eat. You starve them, they will make a revolution. That's it. A coup, like everywhere else. That's how it is. They had to do it. It's too late to talk now. Now, after it happened, we know that Hashem is leading us towards the prophecies of the Tanakh. You cannot avoid it. You see what's going on here. Everything is getting ready for the day that this will be a disaster in this world. 2/3 of the people in the world will die in minutes. As of now, we're talking 5 billion people. we are beginning to see that it's inevitable. You cannot prevent it, because there's no logic. By the way, in case you didn't know, there's one country that have smart leaders in this world. Who is it? Smart and honest. Who? No, Canada. Only Canada. They can be proud of their leaders, prime minister, the government. Canada announced today they do not recognize this agreement and continue the sanction against Iran, meaning they won't be able to do business with Canada. One normal country in a corrupted world like this. One. That was the only country who say it as it is. We're not going to support terror organization. And they supported Israel 100% in every one of the battles against these murderers, knowing they're going to pay a big price for it. Because many of the Arab countries, you know how they it's like a mafia. They put pressure on you. You're not going to support the Palestinian murderers, we will take actions against you. You won't be able to do things, we won't buy from Canadian companies. There can be losses of billions of dollars. What do they care about Israel? The truth. That's the truth. We lose, we lose. We're not going to cooperate with terrorist murderers for political reasons. You understand? But you have only one Canada. I wish there were 10, 20. That will maybe change the face of this world. But let's move on. Chapter 87, speaking about the children of Korach, speaking about this mizmor that was written. As you know, Korach was a Levi from the tribe of Levi, a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the children of Korach, who survived, some of them survived the crush that their father and the 250 leaders got swallowed inside the ground. They survived. And they wrote psalms, chapters to praise Hashem. And this is one of them. Ohev Hashem Sha'aret Zion. Hashem love the citizen of Israel. Zion is Israel. Mikol Mishkenot Yaakov. From all the places where Jews live, Hashem loves the Jews that lives in Israel the most. That gives you now a reason to consider Aliyah, in case you didn't think about it. One way or the other, we will be forced to make Aliyah, if we survive. If we survive, we will have to move to Israel. The question is, when would it be? Nichbedot, it says like this, Nichbedot medubar bach ira Elokim Selah. Many great things we spoke about the city of God. Where is the city of God? Jerusalem. City of God, which is the most beautiful city in the world. Apparently, if you look around all the cities in the world, and I've been in some nice cities in the world, all the beautiful cities of the world look like monkey compared to Jerusalem. Like comparing a monkey to a person. Beautiful, you have everything there. From the most ancient, beautiful palaces and all kinds of ancient buildings, the most beautiful ancient architecture, to the most advanced places in the world. Beautiful building, amazing bridges, oh, unbelievable. You know, incredible. Basically everything you can think of you have in Jerusalem. Even for secular people, even for Christians, even for Muslims, it became the most expensive city in the world. And yet, wait, it will become higher and higher. The prices will go even higher than what it is. So, it's very interesting because if you know in Jerusalem, you have the most poor people in Israel living there, many. They bought apartments over there when it was less than $100,000 per apartment, less. So they bought it over there. Now with the moving of all the American citizens and French and other Jews from the world moving into Israel, obviously it brought the prices of real estate 4 times higher than what it was. So now, imagine something very interesting, just to give you something to think about. There are Jews here in America, they went to college, they killed themselves, they went to college 5-6 years, and maybe medical school a few more years, and they have student loans, and they work, I don't know, 10-12 hours a day, and plus 2 hours in traffic, and they walk and they kill themselves 20 years, it destroys their personal life, and in the end they saved $1 million. That's reality here in America. And an Avrech Yeshiva in Israel, who got married 10 years ago, same thing, 15 years ago, didn't go to college, went right away to Yeshiva, finished high school, 18 years old, he went to Yeshiva, he sits and learned 10 years Torah, has trillions of mitzvot. When he got married, he was able to afford a small, tiny apartment for $80,000, $100,000. As it is now, it's $500,000. Give it another 5 years from now, it will go over $1 million. Without working, without killing himself, without anything, is already wealthier than this businessman with his education in any college of America, with some exception to the rules. So Hashem shows you, if you listen to me, and you will work on your Olam Haba, on your world to come, not focus too much on this world, even your world over here sometimes will be greater than those who kill themselves to reach wealth. And they don't have any Torah. At least they had Torah. Well, it's no contradiction. If you can become a big Chacham, a big Rebbe, and at the same time make millions by investing money cleverly or buying the right stocks, obviously it's in the hand of Hashem. If he wants you rich, you'll be rich. King Solomon say one sentence that already tells us how it works. It says, Lo lachachamim lechem. Wisdom does not bring any wealth. The dumbest people on earth, some of them are multi-billionaires. How do I know it? How do I know they dumb? How do I know they dumb? I obviously don't sit with them for months to check their IQ. The answer is, the fact that you have a person that have $10 billion or $15 billion or $20 billion or $30 billion, and he doesn't make 100 million CDs, which cost $1 each, which is peanuts for him, one deal, and flood every Jew in the world with CDs, and doesn't put commercials on CNN and all these channels, it's time to see what the Judaism is really, what it really is, and the divinity of the Torah, and make a revolution in the Jewish world, and become greater than Moshe Rabbeinu with his money, even though his head is empty, but at least he can get much, much higher as far as merits than even Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Do you know what it means to make 6-7 million Baalei Tshuva with your money? Think about it. The fact that none of them did it shows that they have no brain. They have no brain. Whatsoever, there's no other explanation to it. Because if you say, well, how much I have? All I have, it's $100 million. Okay, I understand. So you don't want to give all your money for that. But if you have $30 billion, what exactly are you going to do with that? Take it with you to the grave? Especially when you're in your 70s or your 80s. Some of them are old already. You know, I'll give you one example. This Edelson, the billionaire, they say is worth $40 billion. What he makes in a day, all of us do not make in 100 years. You understand? From his income, from his casinos, and from the hotels, and from all the other investments. So basically, he's in his 80s. If we would take $1 billion from his 30, $1 billion, I can guarantee to him 5 million Baalei Tshuva in 1 year. Guarantee to him. If $1 billion, do you know how much you can do? You flood the media. Just this film alone that we made, The Purpose of Life, it's a very high standard. You can put it on television. The television would refuse to put such thing. They will say it's propaganda. We are anti-religion. Say to them, take $1 million and be quiet. Every time you display it, $1 million. Million. Oh, no, no, it's not enough million. Okay, take $3 million and be quiet. Put it on prime time in CNN. How much is going to be? 20 million? Put it on CNN. Right away, 200 million people watch it. That's it. You don't need more than that. Then they transfer it to each other and you make the Mashiach come the next day. It's a lot easier than what it sounds. But you need the money for it. And there are plenty of Jews that have the money. But not one person uses his head, unfortunately. That's what's going on. There are other reasons for it, but to give you an idea. So it says here, the city, we spoke greatly already, plenty, about the great city of Jerusalem. And the people that sits over there. And it says like this, Ir Elokim Selah, the divine city for eternity. The divine city for eternity. Azkir Rav uvavel leYodai, I'm going to speak about Egypt and Babylon and Philistines and Tzor, it's Lebanon and Syria over there. And Kush. Kush means Kushim. Kushim means black people. Where the black people originally came from? From Africa. Like they say in America, African American. You know? So what's going on? It's speaking basically about all the Gentiles in the world in one verse. All of them in their countries. And the city and the nation of Zion, meaning Israel, Ye'amer ish ve'ish, every person individually is getting a lot of attention by Hashem, not like the rest of the world. Ve'hu yechoneneh ha'elyon, and Hashem will always make sure that the land of Israel will be above all the countries in the world, no matter how much wealth and power they have. This is like the Torah says, it's a verse in the Torah. It's a verse inside the Torah. Eretz asher enei elokecha ba mireshit ha-shana v'ad acharit ha-shana. A country that the eyes of your God is in it. The eyes of your God is staring at it. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year, constantly, without 1 minute time out. Not 1 second that Hashem stop craving and enjoying and loving the land of Israel. Why? You may say, wait a minute, what's going on here? The rest of the world is not important. It doesn't stare at the rest of the world. Of course it does. He supervises the whole world. But what is it like? A woman that her husband buys her a lot of jewelry over the years. Lots of it. Gold bracelets, silver, all kinds of things. And then he bought her a special color, blue, nice, amazing diamond for $20 million. One in a kind. Nobody has such a thing. Mamash, an amazing thing. They came from the newspaper to take pictures to make an article about it. Now she has silver, she has gold, she has small diamonds, she has a lot of things in her jewelry box. But when she comes and look at her jewelry, what is she staring at? She has other diamonds. She doesn't care about them so much. Once she got this, right? Automatically, she cannot take her eyes off it. Understand? So, the eyes of the God is in it. Ve'hu yechoneneh ha'elyon, Hashem would rise Israel always above all the other nations. No wonder why everyone fight for that piece of land. Think about it. Usually when countries fight with each other, they fight on the border. Should be closer to me or closer to you. They fight to push the border. They want more property. The only country that the whole world wants a peace in it, it's Israel. Everybody wants peace in it. The Russian church, the Armenians, the Turk, the Arabs all over the world, United States, the Vatican. Everybody wants a peace from Israel. Everybody. The grave of King David belongs to who? King David was Muslim? No, Islam did not exist. It's 2,000 years before. Was he Christian? No, it's 1,000 years before Christianity started. He was the proudest and one of the greatest Jews in history. 100%, no doubt. It's all over the Tanakh, the Bible. Why the Christians wants to steal the grave of David from Israel and give an ultimatum to the Israeli government, which is very weak as it is politically in the world, that they want to take this and make it a Christian site. And they did it. They allowed him. You go to the grave of King David, the Christians took it over. Why? They made up a story that JC had his last meal over there. What do I care now? If I go now into a synagogue that is 1,000 years old and I eat over there a meal and then I go to the next world, now it belongs to my children because I went to eat there. I come to your house, I walk into your house, I make myself a nice steak with a glass of wine, I eat over there very well. I say Shema Israel, and Hashem took me to heaven, hopefully. Now my children come and say, get out of the house. Why? Our father had his last meal over here. Get out of here, if not, we'll kill you. What is this nonsense now? And of course, he didn't have any meal over there, and there's a big question, if he ever existed. It's another issue, if he ever existed. One thing, one way or the other, if he did exist, none of these Christians ever saw him. So don't ever believe their nonsense when they tell you, I had a dream that JC came to me. Or I died and came back to life and I saw JC is in charge. How do you know they're lying? None of them ever saw how he looked. There was no Nikon cameras yet. By the time he died, if he existed, Christianity started hundreds of years later. So nobody could ever see how he looked. One person started to tell fairy tales, and that's how a new religion started. But no one ever claimed that he saw his face. The people who wrote the evangelist, they admit that they never saw him. It's stories that happened long, long time ago. The grandfather of the grandfather of the grandfather of the people that live right now. How do you know what happened? There's no Google. Nothing was recorded online. It was a very primitive world. Let's move on. So the end of this chapter is Hashem ispor bichtov amim. Hashem will count and write in his book all the nations. Bichtov amim. Zeyulat sham sela. But the ones that in Jerusalem, maybe they cold a little bit, if you can make it not as cold for them, because I see he's wearing a jacket. I don't feel comfortable. So did you ever know that you're going to have to wear a jacket on July? But not only that, the question is, how did you know to come with this jacket? You see, Chacham Roet HaNolad. You know, you come to my lecture, you have to freeze as a part of the deal. No problem. So, it says, you know, the Hashem is for Bichtov Amin, the Yulad Sham Sela, the baby of Hashem is Jerusalem. Vesharim kimcholelim kol ma'ayanai bach, and all the singers and the musicians, all of them in the city of Zion in Jerusalem. Chapter 87 just concluded. We go right into chapter 88. Shir mizmon libnei Korach. Again, we're still with the children of Korach. Lamnatzeach al machalat le'anot. Lamnatzeach, the conductor in charge of the orchestra. Al machalat. Machalat, it's an instrument. One of the instruments, ancient one. Le'anot means to raise a voice, to play loud music. Maskil le'eman ha'ezrachi. This is teaching us that actually the ones that wrote this originally, this mizmor, is Heman Ha'ezrachi. Hashem Elokei Yeshuati, Hashem Elokei Yeshuati, God, you are the strength and my salvation. Yom Tza'akti Balayla Negdecha. This is a verse from Slichot that we say, Yom Tza'akti Balayla, I scream at night for my crimes, Al Pishi U'Ma'alali. Yom Tza'akti Balayla Negdecha, at night I scream to you with begging. Tavo lefanecha tfilati. My prayers would come in front of you. Ate oznecha lerinati. Please listen to the songs I sing for you when I praise you. Ki sav'a beraot nafshi. My soul is already fed up to here with problems. So many problems. You know, David HaMelech, perhaps, is one of the people in the history of this world that suffered the most. It's very hard to find people in the history of this world, in all the writings of Judaism and in other books, to find an individual that suffered so much in his life. The majority of his life was full of suffering. Of course, he had happy days here and there, but overall, the tragedies that he had in his life, with his children, with Shaul chasing him to kill him, with his son Avshalom take away his wife and chase him out of his home, and he has to hide in the caves, and as a child raised in a family that everyone in town was talking about him, that he's a mamzer, illegitimate boy, and his father hid him in a mountain with the sheep. The life of this, as a child, he already started with lots of suffering. As results of this high level of sufferings, and as results of being such a high spiritual soul, he became one of the most righteous people in history. Because the nature of the world is that a person is closest and depend on Hashem when he's suffering more than when his life is great. When he make millions and billions and he has servants and he's healthy and everything works out for him and he's married and he has a peace of mind and money comes from all over, you know, and he looks okay and everyone admires him and he has no enemies. Why exactly he feel the need for Hashem in his life? The Satan, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination say to him, hey, look, Isaac, your life is great. You don't need anything. What do you need Hashem for? You're already hundreds of millions. You have homes everywhere you go. You have nice cars. You have the most beautiful wife. You're so smart. Every one of your employees bow down to you. Everyone in the neighborhood bow down to you. Everyone in the neighborhood, in a committee, in a board, in politics. Wow, you're great. What do you need Hashem for? What do you want to waste time on religion? How do you need to go to shul? What exactly are you going to pray for? Well, everything you want is yours. That's the way the Satan comes to a person. Look, man, you the God. You're like Nebuchadnezzar. If I'm the God. Paro, I am the God. Do you understand the point? When a person is basically doesn't know if tomorrow morning he'll have what to eat. His life is under pressure, stress, Hashem, I'm begging you, save me, help me, sick, problem, poverty, no wife, yes wife, all kinds of problems. Automatically, naturally, it doesn't mean that all the poor people are religious. We see that that's not the case. But naturally, you have a drive. You have a push. And that's, in the end, will turn to be the greatest gift that Hashem could have given you. Poverty, suffering, sicknesses. As long as you live, with all the suffering, that's a wonderful glue between you and Hashem. It's gluing you directly to Hashem. So the question is like this. What do you think it's a bigger mystery that it's harder to understand? The fact that wicked people have sometimes good life, according to their standard, what they consider good, and things working out for them, even though they're very wicked and evil? Or the fact that righteous, holy people suffer a lot? Which one from the two do you think it's harder to tolerate? What do you think? Do you ever think about it? It's two mysterious phenomena here. But the question is, which one is harder to tolerate, to understand, to digest? Which one? To see a holy rabbi like this getting killed by Adolf Hitler in Yimach Shemo in such horrible torture, or to see a murderer, a drug dealer, a cruel person that tortures widows and orphans and kills so many innocent people, making billions and everyone bow down to him and kiss up to him, and it looks like he's in charge of the world. Which one of the two phenomena is harder to understand? What do you think? I give you something to think about until next Wednesday. Think about it. Come up with a proof. Which one of the two, it's harder to understand. So let's move on. So it says, Hashem, please listen to my singing as I sing to you and I praise you, because my soul is fed up to here with my problems. How much worse it can get? I feel I'm already in hell. Sheol is one of the seven different places of the wicked people getting judged. In hell, in Gehenom. Sheol tachtit. In Hebrew, until today, they use this expression when a person is going lower and lower. So they say, Igia ad Sheol tachtit. He reached the bottom of all bottoms, financially, spiritually, physically. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter, but when you want to describe a person that used to be very high and now is in the bottom of the bottom, what do you say? There's no way to go lower. That's it. It's in the bottom already. So this is the way Hashem, David is speaking to Hashem. Nechshavti im yordei bor. I am considered with people that go down to bor. Bor, it's the seventh place in Gehenom. On the top one, then there's one below and one below and one below until you get to the seventh one, which is the lowest one called Tachtit Haaretz, the bottom of the earth. Bor, it's the most lenient place from all seven, and if you see what's happening there, you're not going to believe the punishments that the wicked people get. It cannot believe. I said to yourself, whoa. It's hard to believe such punishments, such a horrible place. It's all described in details. What's happening there? How the people scream and what's happening with the angels and horrible what's going on there. And this is the top one from seven. Each one below, it's worse and worse and worse until the worst one is the bottom one, Tachtit Haaretz. So he's saying, I'm already in Sheol. I'm already in Bor. This is how I feel. Nechshavti im yordei bor. This is the Kabbalistic explanation of this verse. The simple explanation, literally, is I'm already considered dead. Bor, it's also a pit. Pit means a grave. I feel like I'm already in grave. Just cover me and finished. Cover me with sand and I'm done. I'm already laying in a grave. What else do you want? Just cover me and kill me and that's it. Hayiti kegever en hayal. I became a person with no strength. No energy to move. Why? From the sadness of the situation. Bametim chofshi. Once I'll die, I'll be free. Free from what? What does it mean, bametim chofshi? Free. Among the dead, you're free. Free from what? You have no more obligations. That's it. Well, you don't have to put tefillin. You don't have to pray. You don't have to keep Shabbat. You don't have any obligations. Once you die, you die. That's it. You miss the train. Kmo chalalim shochve kever. Like the people who lay down dead in a big grave. You know how in a war, when they massacre a big amount of people, they don't make for each one of them a grave. They dig one huge hole and they throw all the bodies in. Or sometimes they burn them when they don't want to dig. They just burn it to prevent epidemic. Asher lo zchartam od. Those people that nobody remembers anymore. Once they're dead and covered, that's who remembers them after a while. Ve'em amyadcha nigzaru. And they are in this pit. Why? Because that's where you wanted them to be. This is a serious accusation against Hashem, if you really didn't realize it. But in a way of begging, not accusing. There's two ways to speak to a person that you need something from it. One, you can put him on the spot and crucify him and attack him and blame him and hold him responsible, which usually doesn't get you anything because he gets on the defensive. And one is speaking to him the same way, but in a begging way, as you beg him for help. You actually still criticize him. You still do all the same thing, but it's when it comes from, I'm begging you enough with this, it's a different effect. This is in a begging form of criticizing. So it says like this, Shatani bevor tachtiot b'machshachim b'mtzulot. You put me in a deep hole, in a place of darkness, in the bottom of the ocean. Alai samcha chamatcha. Your anger, it seems that you took all your anger and instead of spreading it equally to the world, everything fell on my head. Ve'kol mishbarecha inita sela. And all the suffering seems to focus on me. Concentrate to my direction. Irchakta miyudai mimeni. You made me isolated that even all my lovers and friends are all turned their back to me. Shatani to'evot lamo. I look now despicable in their eyes. Kalu velo etze. I'm locked and cannot come out. Last night I was in Brooklyn. I gave a lecture there. And after the lecture, one person came to me to speak to me. He actually texted me, emailed me a few days before. I say, come, don't have time for phone calls. Come to one of the lectures we speak after. That's what I tell everyone. So he came. After everyone left, I sat with him for about half an hour and spoke to him. Apparently, this person made a crime on the internet without getting into details. And FBI, police, whatever you want to call it, they came to him and arrested him. He's facing a trial. And he was an important person, somebody with power, loved by everyone, the community, and among different places, very popular, you know, and social, lots of people in touch with him. And he described to me his life right now, much similar to what's going on in this mizmor. From the top of the mountain to the deepest valley, to the bottom of the earth, nobody wants to talk to him. Nobody wants to listen to him. He cannot speak to his wife. He did not speak to his children since the day they bust into his place and arrested him. His in-laws turned their back away from him. All his friends turned their back away from him. The community, the shul he was belonged to, he cannot enter. From all this situation, he became homeless. He became homeless until one Jew had mercy on him. He knew his skills. He said to him, I'm willing to let you work in my company without a salary. Eliyahu HaNavi is on the way, I see. Baruch Hashem. So he says, from the being successful and social and this, Hashem put him in the bottom of the earth, this guy. He got to a point he didn't have where to sleep. Cannot enter his house. He has an order that he cannot go here and he cannot go there. It's basically completely isolated. And from all this problem, this person came and said to him, okay, I'll give you a place to sleep. You can sleep in my basement. I'll give you a room, free. Don't have to pay because you know he doesn't have a dollar. Nobody hires him. Can I get a job? With all his skills. But you're going to work for me as a servant. So he became a servant of a sharp businessman that took advantage of his situation. He saw that he basically became homeless. And he said to himself, what do I care that everyone hates him? Why do I care that he got caught doing a crime? I can benefit from it. Why not? Let me use his skill. I'll give him a place to sleep. I don't have to pay him. It would cost me thousands of dollars every month. So he gave him, and that's his situation right now. So I started to go with all the options. Maybe you can do this. Nah, I tried. Maybe you can do this. I tried. Maybe you can do this. I tried. Maybe I can speak to your in-laws. They don't want to hear my name. Maybe I can speak to the community. You kidding? They look at me. They want to kill me. So now I say to him, with all the problems that you're in right now and your horrible situation, now it's the time for you in your life to get the closest to Hashem. Just like David HaMelech. He was in your situation. The difference is, David HaMelech did not commit any crimes in his life, and he was in this situation. You are a criminal, I told him. You're paying for your crime, but you're lucky you're paying for your crime over here. Imagine if you would not pay for it over here. Over there it will be a lot harder. So this is the situation. The person sometimes can feel so isolated in the world. He has nobody. Nobody. And believe me, I want to tell you something. A lot of the movie stars are in this situation. I'll tell you what I mean. Even though millions of people admire them and beg them for their signature or to even touch them or to shake their hands, or when they see them, they scream like mishugayim. They want to take pictures with them. But they all know that no one really like me. They like the actor I am, which is not me. It's fake. Nobody really likes me. They either like me because I'm rich and famous, or because I'm handsome or pretty, or because I'm a hero in a movie. They don't really love me. They like an image that doesn't exist in reality. That's the reason that many of them don't have really friends. They're very popular. Millions of people follow them on Facebook and Twitter and all these things, but they don't have one real friend. Even the organizer of their event, the only reason is with them is to suck their blood. All these famous boxers, who really made all the money back in the days? The one who was organizing the fighting for them. He wasn't getting punched and making more money than the slave who gets some punches to make him rich. That's how it goes. The agent. That's not friendship. This is friendship. It's not friendship. A real friend is your friend when you're up and when you're down and when everyone loves you, and then when everyone turned their back away to you, he's still staying your friend. When everyone puts you on a ban, he's still your friend. He doesn't necessarily have to agree with something that you did wrong. He can tell you in your face, I'm not admiring what you did. I'm ashamed of you. What can I do? You're my friend. And the same thing between husbands and wife. If tomorrow your wife did something she was not supposed to, and now she got into fight with people, there's one way to handle it is to add more to her, to criticize her. You're stupid, you're foolish, how did you do such thing? And now you bury her completely. Or now it's an opportunity for you to show support. You can tell her later on, just because I'm supporting you and loving you and putting you back on your feet doesn't mean I agree with your actions. Same thing with your son. Same thing with all kinds of things like this. Many children committed suicide because of their parents. Many in our communities. Because once they started to go off the derech, and they were religious, and then at one point they started to go to bad directions, the parents did not handle the situation correctly. If the parents would give them lots of love and speak to them and beg them and try and get somebody to be in touch with them by paying them money and still give them a lot of respect, not necessarily it would work. Sometimes even that doesn't work, I know. But the chance that it would work and get out of his situation was a lot higher. Rather, most of the parents went on defensive. You're not my son anymore. You're not my daughter anymore. I'm done with you. Don't dare to come here. Pack your stuff and leave. I don't care. Here, take some money. Get out of my face. I don't want to ever see you. And from there to heroin and to death, it was a matter of months. Today, one kid told me about another kid that he tried to help, tried to get him a lawyer. He has a trial for something. These kids are miserable. They're really miserable. Especially in America, a 17, 18 years old kid, it's completely brainless. Because the way the American kids grow here is with no responsibility, with nothing. Everything they get, everything with gold spoon. Everyone's living in a comfortable house, almost everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone. And they have no liabilities, no nothing. And it's creating mental problems for them. So he was trying to help him out. And then he went with his kid to a store, and the father of this kid showed up. And the father of that kid started to scream at him in front of all the people and the goyim and everyone that was in that place, Delhi or 7-Eleven, I don't know where it was, started to scream, to curse him in front of everyone. First of all, it's big chilul Hashem. People see their person with the yarmulke, curse his son like this. The goyim see it. And what are they thinking? Probably all Jews are like that. They don't know, it's not the case. So right away, they jump to conclusion. Ah, the chosen people, they're nothing better than us. We have these issues, they have the same. That's already something that Hashem hates very much. The second problem is that he told me after that, this boy, he said, no wonder all his hands are full of holes and bubbles. So I said to him, what do you mean? He said, from injecting heroin with a father like this, I would also do the same. Do you understand what's going on here? Sometimes it's lack of attention. Not that the parents were evil to them. They didn't do anything. They didn't abuse them. They didn't put them down. They gave them plenty of money and freedom. They just didn't have time for them. Everyone was busy with his career. He didn't understand that billions careers is not equal to one kid or to your family in general. And then what happened in the end? That Hashem takes away the money of all these career people also in the end. Most of them, they left with no family, no good children, and no money, and no nothing. And usually also no religion also. And now, the punishment begins. That's what they say in Hebrew, Nish'arti kireach mishnei hatzdadim, meaning, I stay bald from both sides. What does it mean, stay bald from both sides? Nobody gets bald on the sides, right? Over here, right, on the back and the neck, and here, no man is bald. People only bald from the top. What does it mean, I stay bald from both sides? People that are bald, they grow long hair from one side, some of them, and they cover the bald spots. So what happened? If you cut from one side, that's what they say, I stay bald from both sides. Meaning, one person has a sponsor. He helps him out. He gives him money. And then a much bigger sponsor come and offer him to move to him. Come to me, I'll give you 10 times more. I won't put you down like the way he talks to you. I'm going to give you respect. Oh, really? You're going to give me 10 times more? No problem. Say, thank you very much for your support. I appreciate it. I'm quitting. I'll manage on my own. He goes to the next guy. 1 month, he gives him a little bit more. Then the abuse begins. Then he gets rid of him. And now he say, Anish'arti kereach mishnei hatzdadim. At least I had something here. Now I left with nothing. That's usually how it always ends. It always ends. So it says like this here. It says, you isolated me in such a way that even the ones who used to love me turned their back away from me. I'm locked in my world. I cannot go anywhere. Eni da'ava mini oni. My eyes hurt from crying. Do you know that a person cries for hours and hours? How he feel big, that the muscle of his face already hurting from crying so long. Kraticha Hashem bechol yom. Every day I scream to you, Hashem. Shitachti elecha kapai. Shitachti kapai means I goes like this. When a person beg, he open up his hands like this and is begging, please, please, this is how people are. When they pray, they go like this. This means shitachti, I put my palms flat. But you continue to hide yourself from me. Ani vegovea minoar. Excuse me, I skipped something. But with all the pain and screaming to me and to you, and my hands are flat. Halametim ta'ase pele im refaim yakumu yodu chasela. You waiting for when? When are you going to save me? After I'll be dead? It will be worthless already. Now it's the time to help me. You're not helping me now? Next week I'll be dead. What is the point helping me when I'll be in a grave? Sometimes you come to help, it's a little bit too late. Like the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. He was walking with a donkey full of bags of food and candy, and a poor man came to him and said to him, Kvod Arav, Rabbi, I'm hungry, please give me something to eat. So of course, wait 1 minute, let me open the bags. The bags were tight with nuts. So he started to open the bags. And finally got something out of the bag. He turned around to give it to him. He was already dead. He didn't eat for days. Meaning, so if he would move a little bit faster, instead of 5 minutes, he would open the bags in 3 minutes or 2 minutes, he would save his life. So from when something like this happened, he decreed on himself, was a very big chacham, big tzaddik, Nachum Ish Gamzu, had very big emunah in Hashem. So he decreed on himself all the tragedies and sicknesses you can think of. He ended his life, by the time he ended his life, he had no legs, no hands, full of pus all over his body, the bugs were coming to the blood and he didn't even have end to itch himself. Living in total poverty, blind, Mamash, he was praying to Hashem to give him all the punishments possible for not giving food to the poor person fast enough. If we really think about it, how many people we murder in our life, the list is endless. To murder a person doesn't mean to take a gun and shoot his head. There are murders that are much worse than that. If you write in the internet against a person and ruin his name and reputation, 99% of the people, if they knew that you're about to do it, they would rather you kill them and not do such thing. They would rather that. How many people were paying everything they have for a reporter not to publish about them on a newspaper? The guy that came to me yesterday in Brooklyn, the guy that I was telling his story, he said to me, it was all over the news, all over the television. Do you know what it is? That every website you open, you see your face, your picture, and everyone's writing comments against you. It got to the point that he was so destroyed mentally, you see his eyes are swollen and with tears, that he told me that there's one very evil website. There's an evil website who constantly publish people all the time, especially religious people, because he's anti-religion. He said to me, he was the nicest to me. He published me, he showed my pictures, but he cleaned some of the comments against me. So in other words, he murdered me also. He stuck his knife, but not in my heart, in my stomach. So for that, he appreciated him. That's to show you how much he suffered from all the others. If a person come to you and say to you, this guy tortured me, but not as much as all the others, that's why I love him. He may did something that he wasn't supposed to. Something to do with Yetzer Hara. You know, people have Yetzer Hara. This internet is a killer. If a person has a weakness, it destroyed you. So, you know what it is? Sometimes if a person would not enter the internet, none of the crimes that he committed would ever happen. As he entered the place that is not supposed to be, as results of entering there, all his problems in his life begin. Do you understand what's going on here? Sometimes a person is looking for a receptionist, a secretary, and lots of people come to the interview, and a lot of them has great skills, but he chooses the beautiful young lady. He wants to have a beautiful secretary. If he would choose the older lady that is not as pretty, but she's very good in what she does, none of his problems in life would begin. The only reason that he's destroyed eventually is on one bad choice, that he chose one woman. Sometimes he was choosing her with intention to make scenes with her. Sometimes it wasn't even his intention. He just wanted a pretty face in the front of his office. When people come, that's the way the world is. People love handsome and pretty people. They call it charismatic. They have names for it. Presentation, presentable. Did you ever see someone on the news that give the news that is not a nice face? Did you ever see a monkey giving the news? You never see such thing. Why? Because everybody understands. Monkey will give the news. No one would listen to our station. That's the way the world is. The same thing in sales. Soon as a pretty girl comes, so how are you, Mr. Moskowitz? Right away, take his pen out. Where do I have to sign? That's the way the world is. I can deny until tomorrow. That's the way the world is, unfortunately. I wish people can overcome this desire. But this is the way it is. So it says like this here. It says, Alametim ta'ase pele? You're going to do what? You're going to make wonders for the dead? When do you want to help me? When I'll be dead? Do you want to help my spirit after I die? Ayesupar ba'kever chasdecha? Do you remember anyone that prays you from grave? Right now I'm suffering every second of my life and I do not stop one second to praise you. When I'll be dead, I won't be able to praise you. Emunatcha ba'avadon? Who can praise you in Gehenom, in hell? Who can praise you from the grave? Can I present your wonders in the darkness? I need light for it. Your righteousness, if I want to praise you for your righteousness, I need an ability in front of people to do it, not when I'm isolated and nobody wants to even listen to me. How can I praise you when I don't have one listener? It's like a speaker who gives lectures. If he doesn't have one view, he puts on YouTube his lecture, 6, 7, 8 months, 0 views. Same next lecture, second lecture, 4th, 5th, 7th, 10th, 20th, 50 lecture, not one view. Get the point, Habibi. Go play golf. What are you doing? It's not for you. Go sell diamonds, maybe. I don't know, sell clothing. Do something that you may be good at. 0 views? So that's what he says. So you isolated me in the world. Nobody wants to look at me, Bechlal. How exactly I'll be able to praise you with my situation? Save me that I can at least see results. V'ani elecha Hashem shivati. Now 1 minute, I left you. You striked on me, you hit me, you hid yourself. All the anger in the world is on my head. And not 1 minute I stopped believing in you, trusting you. Baboker tfilati tekadmeka. Early in the morning, sunrise. What is it, sunrise? 5:30 today. People in shul already 5 o'clock, 10 to 5. Thousands of Jews here in Queens. There's a lot of Netz Minyanim. 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, I'm already praying to you. Lama Hashem tiznach nafshi. Why, Hashem, you neglected my soul? Taster panecha mimeni, or hid your face from me. Ani, ani vegovea minoar. I'm so weak. I feel I'm dead already. But I still have fear from you in every place I go to. Alai avru charonecha. I can testify how many waves of your anger passed on me, fell on me. Biutecha tzimtutuni. The fear from you cut me to pieces. Not like us, the fools. Why are you doing it? You're not afraid of Hashem? No, Hashem will understand me. How do you know he will understand you? Maybe he'll bury you. Maybe you'll lose your eternity. Maybe, God forbid, tomorrow you get cancer for what you just did. Don't you see what's happening in the world? What makes you so sure that Hashem will understand you and forgive you? What? Why playing with fire? Why stealing? Why raping? Why not keeping Shabbat? Why not behaving like a human being? Why being ungrateful? Why stabbing the people that gave their life for you? Why? In the end, there's a price to pay. The greatest people in history were shaking from Hashem. Don't ever let any speaker or what we call today a rabbi ever fool you with their nonsense. A real kosher person fear Hashem with real fear every second of his life. Before he does, after he did. How can I do it better? Maybe I didn't do it right, good enough. A righteous person, King David and King Solomon and the greatest people in history, they praise themselves for fearing Hashem. It's not an embarrassment to fear Hashem. It's an embarrassment to fear people. But it's a natural reaction. The head of the mafia is on the way to you with a gun. Of course you fear. It's a natural reaction, but it's not an honor to fear him. It's not an honor to fear the policeman on the road. It's not an honor to fear anyone, any human being. But it's a huge honor to fear God. This is what I'm trying to educate the people. Whenever people tell you, oh, this book is scary, this speaker is scary, this film is scary, it got me too scared. The answer is, that's the way Hashem wants. Hashem wants people to love him at the same time, while they're fearing and shaking from him. This is written all over the Torah. You want to change the Torah and modify the Torah, go to the Reform Shul. Don't come to an Orthodox Shul. I don't care who you are. You call yourself a rabbi, you're not a rabbi, you're a faker. If you come to your audience and tell them Hashem is merciful, no one will get punished, everyone would get saved, you're a liar. I repeat, you're a liar, you're a criminal. Go and do tshuva and stop with your nonsense, because the Torah says the opposite. Not once, not twice, not 10 times, not 30 times. Hundreds of times. Read the Torah. Don't believe me. Take the Torah, English, subtitle, Persian, Russian, whatever you want. Same Torah. Get it. Read. Hundreds. Kalish, I'm right or wrong? Hundreds of places in the Torah. Fear me. Should fear your God. What do you think the Torah tells us about all the punishments of the wicked Jews in history? Why do I care? Why do I care that Korach got buried alive? Why do I care that all these things happened to these people? Why do I care that all the Jews who worship the idols, Hashem destroyed them with complete, strict punishment? Why do I care that Moshe Rabbeinu did not enter Israel? He got such a huge punishment for one tiny mistake he made. Why the Tanakh is full of examples how people with one foolish act lost everything. One second, they lost everything. Why do I care to read this? Not to repeat their mistake. Why? You're going to do what they did. You're going to get the same thing. What do you think? You're dismissed. What? Your eyes will dismiss you from the punishment? If you see that every righteous, every modest Jewish woman, Hashem prays her in the Torah. And every woman that walks not modest in the street, Hashem calls her like an animal. Doesn't want to look at her. No holiness, no nothing, wicked. Prutza? You know what prutza means? Prostitute. That's what the book of law calls her. A woman that walks half open here, everywhere in the streets. A mother of children walks not modest on the street. All the Guidos and the lowlifes in the street looks at her with no shame. The biggest embarrassment. A woman with dignity would dare that Tony and Jose and Muhammad would look at her in the street. And yet, the wonder is getting greater by the minute when you look at the murderer of the Hamas and the murderer of ISIS and the murderer of Hezbollah and who knows what kind of other filthy murderers that if their wife would walk like this 1 minute on the street, they'll chop her head off. Meaning they are embarrassed how his wife would walk in a public event. They are embarrassed that their wife will go in a public event, that people would look at my own wife, Muhammad the murderer from the Hamas, is thinking. Meaning this filthy monster who murdered children for breakfast already is better than us. That's the sad truth. That if it doesn't kill you the way your wife walks in the street, when you read it in the book of God, that there's no bigger disgrace than this, and you let your wife dress like this in her office or in a wedding, that means you are actually worse than him in your ideology. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Think about it. It's a shame. These monster murderers, they think more modest than us. How can it be such thing? How can it be? You know, we... Not only we don't do what Hashem wants us to do, not all of us, some of us. Not only we don't listen to Hashem, to justify our evil and wicked way, we modify the Torah just like the Reform people. The only difference is that the Reform people does it on everything, and we does it on some of the things. But the idea is the same idea. We cover for our crimes. I'll give you an example. There are some places that if you want to put your daughter in yeshiva, they won't accept her. Why? Because you refuse to walk with a wig. You only cover your hair fully modest. They don't like it because they all go with fancy wigs. So in order for them to justify their bad way, they make you the criminal. We cannot accept your daughter, Mrs. X. Why? You're not wearing a wig. And I'm wearing a sheitel. No, I'm covering my hair. She thinks, wow, Baruch Hashem, I'm sticking to the law of modesty 100%. They don't accept her. There are yeshivot like this. I know it's hard to believe, but there is. One day they decided that the girls should only cover their knees, not the entire legs. So they wanted the skirt to be short. Is this what Hashem wants? What does Hashem prefer? That the legs of the daughters of Hashem, the Jewish girls, would be fully covered, all the way to the shoes. Not that they fall on the floor. If they fall on the floor, then they get attached to the body, I know. We're not talking those ones that fall on the floor, no. That they get to the shoes. It leaves 2-3 inches from the shoe, above the shoe. But it covers you completely, wide, nice, nobody can see the legs, how they walk, nothing. Or that Hashem prefer that half of the woman's leg will be on the open, with stocking, without stocking. Which one of the two a logical person would rather when it comes to modesty? Ask any normal person. They changed the law. Today they say to the girls in the school, don't dress long skirt. Wear a little bit below the knee. And then what happened? 90% of the girls wear it above the knee. Because when you tell them you're allowed up to here, they go a little bit more. If you tell them go all the way to the bottom, they would still 3-4 inches, would still be below the knees. Now, Orthodox girls come to the synagogue with 100% mini skirts like the clubs of Manhattan. That's how they come. And they think, in their foolish mind, that they were scared, they're modest. When in reality, it's a million times worse than a pants. If you had to choose that your daughter will wear a miniskirt or pants, miniskirt is much worse. What's the question? If the skirt is not wide and long to cover all the legs, of course it's worse than pants. What's the question here? What is the question here? But this is the way we are modifying the truth to prevent criticism by the religious authority. After a generation or two, no one would ever remember that that officially used to be the law. That's why some of us, from time to time, when we see a picture from our grandmothers in Iran, in Bukhara, in Syria, in Poland, when we see a picture of how they used to dress, we're getting the shock of our life. Whoa! How they were covered. Nothing. Cannot see nothing. Everything completely covered. Who do you think the Arab learned about modesty from? Who do they copy from? From our mothers. And then today, the Rebbitzin, look at how your grandmother used to dress. And look what we became. No shame, no dignity, no nothing. And then, when finally one speaker dared to say the truth, they begin a propaganda against him. Why? It's a jeopardy for their evil way. It's a jeopardy. He's putting a bad light on us. We gotta make sure to mute him. Mute him! But they don't know that you can mute as much as you want. Hashem runs the world. Nothing will help you. The truth will always win in the end. Yes, it may take 20 years, it may take 50 years, it may take 1,000 years. In the end, one way or the other, the truth always wins. That's a rule that Hashem made in the world. Always the truth will win in the end. So what's happening here? He say to Hashem, he say, Sabuni kamayim kol hayom. My enemies are around me to drown me all the time. Akifu alai yachad. They surrounded me. Akifu alai yachad. They all, it's an ambush. It's a siege around me. Irchakta mimeni ohev areya. You made my lovers and my friends run away from me. Meyuda'ai machshach. Those who knows me ran away and I left alone in the darkness. This was chapter 88. And now we're going to do chapter 89. And maybe if we have time, we'll do one more mizmor. Chapter 89. Maskile etana ezrachi. Etana ezrachi, one of the Leviim, as we said, in Bet HaMikdash, Chasdei Hashem Olam Ashira. Chasdei Hashem Olam Ashira. The kindness of Hashem always in my mouth when I sing. Today people sing all kinds of nonsense songs. Well, the words of the songs today... But back in the time, all the songs, all of them were singing to Hashem, praising Him, thanking Him, appreciating Him, talking about His greatness. Ledor vador odia emunatcha befi. Every generation, I will publish how much I have faith in you. Ki amarti olam chesed ibaneh. This is a very famous sentence. Olam chesed ibaneh. The world, the foundation of the world, the fracture of the world, the structure of the world is chesed, kindness. That's one of the poles of this world. If you have to put the building on poles, on foundation, you need foundation to hold it. If you have a round table, three legs can hold it. Two legs will not be able to hold it. It would fall. Three you need, minimum three. One here, triangle. Otherwise it will collapse. If two of the foundations are great and the third one is weak, eventually it collapses, the other two falls with it. Right? So what are the three foundations of this world that Hashem made? The three foundations is Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim. Torah, everybody understand. A Jew without Torah, it's like a person without a heart, or a person without oxygen. So without Torah, there's no nothing. No values, no family, no children, no nothing. No holiness, no emunah, no basically nothing whatsoever. What does it mean, Avodah? Avodah Shebalev. Not Avodah in 47th Street. No. Avodah means, back in the days, used to sacrifice in Bet HaMikdash and praise Hashem. Now there's no Bet HaMikdash, so it's only Tefillah. Praying and speaking to Hashem about all your problems. You don't need to wait for Tefillat Shmona Esrei. Chacham Ben Zion Abba Shaul Zatzal used to say to his Talmidim, what are you waiting for Tefillat Shmona Esrei? Well, if now it's 2 o'clock, you cannot talk to Hashem now, you need to wait until 6, 7? Now get in a room and begin to cry to Hashem. You need an official prayer? Well, if you're in a car, you cannot talk to Hashem? If you're in your bedroom, you cannot talk to Hashem? The only place you cannot talk to Hashem is in the bathroom. It's no kavod. Don't talk to me from the dirt. But other than that, everywhere else you can. So, he used to say, the prayer is fine, but until the prayer, now I have to talk to you now also, what? So it says like this. It says, Ki amarti olam chesed ibane, I know. The kindness, it's the third pole of this world. The world is standing on kindness. If you're selfish, you don't care about others, what happened? You only care about yourself, yourself, yourself. In the end, Hashem sent Madoff to you. I have a good investment. 12% cash. Why? You don't care about anyone 20, 30 years. Shh. Hashem found a way to get your money away from you. What do you think? You think that by you going against Hashem's instruction, you're going to have blessing in anything in your life? Is it possible? Is it possible that a father say to his son, don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and he does all the above, non-stop, every day against his father, and in the end his father would cooperate with his crimes? Is it possible that the other son, that Hashem said to him, don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, he listens to everything the father says, he gives up his wishes, he stays longer at work, he cleans, he takes care of the father, whatever he says, yes, Abba, yes, 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 and in the end the father will take a knife and stab him in the back? Do you know a father like this? So what, Hashem is worse than him? Muhammad the Pakistani from Pakistan, if his son is very good, loyal son to him, will he benefit him? Of course. The Hamas murderer, if his son gives him his life, he would not help him? Yes. The cows, the sheep, the dogs, the birds, they would not be faithful to their children if they're good to them? Even if they're not good, they help them. When they're good, they won't be good to them? So only Hashem that we listen to him and we give money that we work very hard for and we help miserable people and we care to make other Jews religious come back to Hashem to save his children. In the end, we think, I'm losing. And then we have the nerve to call ourselves religious when we don't have 1% faith in Hashem. 1%. How do you call yourself religious? You're a robot that keeps mitzvot. A robot can also put tefillin. Did you see the robot that wrote a Sefer Torah or no? Nicer than any Sefer Torah you buy in the market. Not one tiny move. The robot. Is amazing. Better than print. But the robot feels Sefer Torah, the robot put tefillin, he feels that tefillin. So it says like this, Karati Brit Libchirai, I made a covenant with the one that I chose. This is Hashem speaking. I made a covenant with David. Nishbati le David Avdi. I swore to my servant David. Ma? Ad olam achin zarecha. I will keep my promise to your descendants for eternity. Le'olam. Ad olam achin zarecha. Uvaniti ledor vador kisacha sela. Your chair in front of me for generation after generation for eternity. Meaning your family will never be disappeared from the face of the earth. You will always have descendants. Why? The Mashiach has to come from one of your children. We cannot clean you from the face of the earth like many other families disappeared. Ve'yodu shamayim pilecha. Heaven will thank your wonders. Af emunatcha bikal kdoshim. And we say your faith, the angels in heaven are speaking about the faith. Ki mi bashacha ke aroch l'Hashem, who in heaven is coming near Hashem, with all the respect to all these angels, with the higher spiritual levels, Srafim, angels of fire, ofanei HaKodesh, amazing creature. It's 100% spiritual, with no limitation. An ancient can go from one side of the world in less than a second. Once Hashem turned Eliyahu HaNavi into an angel, he can be in 100 different Brit Milah at the same morning. In Israel, in Shanghai, in New York, in Russia. Same Brit Milah, 100, 300 in one morning. Baby here, baby there. How one person can be in 300 places in all over the world in one morning? No problem, no limitation. In seconds. What? That's an air. And an angel come near Hashem. You can compare an angel to Hashem, Chas v'Shalom. So what does it say? It says, Idme la Hashem bivnei elim. Who can come near Hashem among all these stupid idols that the Goyim made? Big statues. You go to Nepal, to India, all these big statues, gold. They invested millions of dollars to build these stupid statues of them. You comparing this to Hashem, the creator of the world? Is there anything to compare? El na'aratz besod kedoshim rabba. The admirable God that's sitting on top of us and watching us, ve'noral kol zvivav, ve'emato, his presence causing us to shake from fear, and his greatness, so huge and great and powerful. Just the thought about Hashem should make a person faint. There used to be rabbis that as soon as they came into the synagogue, they fell. Synagogue, fell, fainting. Not only that, one generation ago, in the 50s, in the 60s, about 50 years ago, when they used to announce in a synagogue of Tel Aviv, not Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, needless to say, in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is like Miami Beach. In the synagogues of Tel Aviv, the Gabbai of the Shul used to come and say, gentlemen, Elul, the month of Elul started. Half of the people would fall and faint 50 years ago. Why? Wow, Rosh Hashanah is in 1 month. The trial is coming. I'm not ready. I'm going to stand to a trial in a month. People from the fear used to faint. Today, the Gabbai say, inside places like Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak even, gentlemen, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Huh? Elul. Wait 1 minute. I get a text here. Elul. 15 times I scream Elul. Elul, Elul. What do you want, Elul? Don't be annoying. We'll fire you. I'm writing the checks. I'm in a board. Ba'al ha-me'ah u-ba'al ha-de'ah. You understand? Ay, 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 ay. So it says, Hashem Elokei Tzvaot Mikamocha Chasin Ya Ve'emunatcha Zvivatecha. Hashem, you in charge of the army of heaven. Who is like you, eternal? Ve'al emunatcha, everyone that around you testify about your greatness. How? By looking at them. You look at a person that is Chacham Ovadia Yosef or Rav Eliashiv. In our generation, such knowledge, such power, such a brain, such beauty. That shows you how great is Hashem. Le'avdil, you look at a person that is very pretty, a woman, such pretty face. You look and say, wow, how did Hashem make such a pretty thing? You look at the sophisticated animals, the things that they do, how clever, how they build the nest. You look at the bird that flies in a jungle, millions of trees on the mountains. Go on upstate, drive to upstate New York, see how many trees on the way up. Millions of trees, millions literally, and each tree has his afro. That's what it looks like, one green ocean. And a tiny bird come from the end of the world and land exactly in the nest where the babies are waiting for food. How the bird has the most sophisticated GPS in the head. Yeah, a week ago they said in Israel, Waze messed up, send an Israeli guy into an Arab village, got saved from being butchered. Wait, it was sold for $3 billion, I think. The bird inside the little tiny head, size of a gum, has a much more sophisticated GPS. It never made mistake finding the nest. And it's a little bit harder than to find streets from a satellite, that everything is lines, no? Easy. To go and find exactly where the nest and land directly, this is testifying about the greatness of God. You just look at the computer, you say, wow, look how Hashem gave us the head to be able to invent such a thing. Anything you can think of. The problem with the atheist is they take everything and they ignore the most important thing. Wow, computer, wow, genius, great, amazing invention. But they forget nature, nature. They found a word for Hashem. They don't want to say Hashem, so they say nature. They just don't know that in Hebrew, nature and Hashem is the same numeric value. Ateva and Elohim, 86. 86. So it says, Ata Moshel Begeut Hayam, you control the level of the oceans. Sometimes it goes higher, sometimes lower. Floods, tsunamis. Besog Alav Ata Teshabchem, when the waves are going to flood the city, you bring them down. Ata Diketa Kechalal Rav, you surrender Egypt. With your strong arm, you scattered all the enemies. When the enemies are united, they're more powerful. You scatter them all over. You turn them against each other in the Babylonian tower. They started to fight. Lecha shamayim af lecha aretz. You on the heaven, you on the earth. Tevel umleoa ata yesadatam. You created the whole universe. Tzafon ve'yamin ata bra'atam, the north, the south, Tavor ve'chermon, the east and west, the mountain of Tavor, on the way on the north in Israel, next to Tiberia, you have Har Tavor. Har Tavor, the mountain of Tavor. Ve'chermon, all the way in the north, Hermon, where the snow is. And one side of Israel, people having 110 degrees, driving 7 hours to the north of Israel, people doing ski at the same time. Country the size of New Jersey. Imagine in New Jersey, and the side of one north side of New Jersey, people are skiing, snow, and the south side of New Jersey, people are laying on a beach at 110 degrees. Imagine such a thing, only in a tiny Israel. Size of Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and Manhattan. That's Israel. Very tiny. They asked some Russian ignorance, how big is Israel? They thought it's the size of Russia. Why? Because they hear about it on the news just as much as they hear about America and everything else. They thought it's an empire. Some ignorant. You know? So it says, אז דיברת כי להשם מגיננו ולקדוש ישראל מלכנו. It says, I'm turning to skip today. It's very interesting. Maybe someone here is in a rush. No, we still have 15 minutes left. וימין אתה בראתם תבור וחרמון בשמחה ירננו. לך זרוע עם גבורה. Your hands is the most powerful one. Of course, Hashem doesn't have a hand. It's an analogy, metaphoric. תעוז ידך תרום ימינך. So strong and high. צדק ומשפט מכון כיסאיך. Your chair is the chair of a judge. No, there's no better judge than you. צדק ומשפט מכון כיסאיך. חסד ואמת יקדמו פניך. Kindness and truth always welcoming you. אשרי העם יודעי תרועה. That's what we say in Rosh Hashanah, before we blow the shofar. What do we say? אשרי העם יודעי תרועה. תרועה means blowing the shofar. תרועה. The voice of the shofar, when Eliyahu Navi comes, when Mashiach comes. How lucky are the nation that knows to blow the shofar, as you told them, on the judgment day of the world. The rest of the world have no idea what a shofar is. Why they call it shofar? Shofar comes from the word meshupar, leshaper. Leshaper means to improve. It improves the heart of the people. As if your heart is pure, partially pure. Some people, the heart is the heart of a rock. Completely impure. Deceiving, lying, not kosher food, no Shabbat, no emunah, no nothing. No, what do you expect? Nothing. The heart is completely sealed. But someone who still has some purity in his heart, even though he's not perfect, but he has some purity in his heart, he has emunah in Hashem, he gives some tzedakah, he helps miserable people, he treats people nice, he learns Torah here and there. It's not so bad. As soon as you hear the shofar, you feel like your heartbeat stopped. That's how you're supposed to feel. Naturally, the tears begin to fall when you know, wow, it's the judgment day. I'm in the middle of my judgment. Who knows how this year would look? Every penny you're going to lose, it's decided in Rosh Hashanah. Get married or not, Rosh Hashanah. You'll have children or not, Rosh Hashanah. There's not one day. Not one day, unfortunately, that I don't get few cancer, new people that got cancer every day, few new names. And there's not one day that I don't get at least one message of someone that the doctors just told her that her baby is brain damaged. And there's a question now if to abort the baby or not. Every day, at least one case like this. Think about it. Think what's going on. So the situation here, when a person hears the shofar, it has to improve you right away to do tshuva. Same thing, thunders. The Gemara say, why Hashem made thunders? Why do we need this explosion? Boom! You see, you feel how the window sometimes shaking? Wow, you get very scared. Le'asher akmumiyut shebalev. To make the heart straight, because it was crooked. Explosion. Today it doesn't affect us so much because we already used two bombs. But back in the day, nobody heard a bomb. There's no explosion besides thunder. So if a person heard the thunder, 1 hour is in shock. Moshe, you okay? Well, I'm recovering. What happened? Whoa, there was a thunder here. Today, every minute, explosion, terrorism, ISIS, Muhammad, Ahmed, Mustafa. So people already got used to these explosions. Nobody is getting impressed. So it says like this. Be'or panecha ya'alechun. The light of you, Hashem, people walk through. That your light guide them. Be'shimcha yegilun kol hayom uvitzitchatcha yaromu. Everyone is rejoicing in your name. And with your righteousness, they are lifting themselves spiritually. Ki tiferet uza mo'ata. You are the glory of their strength. Uvirtzoncha tarum karnenu. And when you want, our level rise sharply, just when you want. All we have to do is to get you to want. Once you want, nobody can stand next to us. Not the Arabs, not the Nazis, not no one. Just if Hashem wants. Ki la'Hashem aginenu ulikdosh Yisrael malkenu. Hashem is our savior, and the holy of the nation of Israel is our king. As dibarta bechason lechasidecha v'tomar, you spoke in a prophecy by Shmuel, Prophet Samuel. You told him, Shiviti ezer al gibor, I gave strength to the hero. Harimoti bachur me'am, I lifted the chosen one from the nation. Who is he talking about? King David. Samuel was the prophet in the time of David HaMelech. Shmuel HaNavi. Matzati David Avdi b'shemen kodshi meshachtiv. I picked David from millions. And I put my holy oil, Shemen HaMishcha, from the horn that Shmuel the prophet put on his head. Eventually he became the king, but not just the king in this world. The king of Mashiach. The kingdom, the final kingdom will come also from him. Be'shemen kodshi meshachtiv, with my holy oil, I poured on his head. Asher yadi tikon imo avzroi te'amtzenu. My hand is supporting him. My arm strengthened him. Lo yasi oyev bo. No enemies can deceive him. Uven avla lo ya'anenu. And a despicable human being cannot torture him. Ve'chatoti mipanav tzarav u'mesanav egof. I'm going to break all his enemies in front of him. And I will hit his enemies. Ve'emunati v'chasdi imo. My strength, my faith, my support is always with him. Uveshem, uveshmi tarum karno. And his name, his status would always become greater thanks to my name. Vesamti bayam yado v'neharot yemino. I put his kingdom even not only on the land, also on the oceans, on the rivers. Hu yikra'eni avi ata. He has permission to call me father. Not only king. You can call me father. Eli v'tzur yeshuati. You are my father, you are my God, you are my strength. Afani bechoret nehu. In return there for him to call me father, I will nominate him to be my firstborn. Bechor. Born has more level than the rest and more privileges. Elyon lemalkei haaretz. The one on top of all the kings of the world. This is the relationship between the Jews and Hashem, in case you didn't realize. It's a love story. Or between a father to a son. Leolam eshmor lo chasdi. I will always reserve my kindness for him. Uvriti ne'emenet lo. I will never break my covenant with him. Vesamti la'ad zaro. I will keep my covenant to his children for eternity. That's a message for all the Arabs that claim that after the Jews sinned, Hashem left them. It will never happen. It's promises from Hashem in the Tanakh. I will never break the covenant with my children, no matter what they do. V'chis'o k'imei shamayim. His kingdom on the world, the importance of the Jews on the world, is like this, like the land of heaven. Meaning the same way the sky can never be destroyed. No one can destroy the sky. Can destroy the land. But you cannot destroy the sky. That's how nobody can destroy the nation of Israel, the Jews, meaning. Whether you have Israel as a state, whether or not, it's not relevant. It's talking about the existence of the Jews.
Im lo yazvu banav torati, if his children will not leave my Torah, ובמשפטי לא יהלכון, and אם בחוקותי יחללו, מצוותי לא ישמורו, if they disrespect my laws, and do not keep my mitzvot, ופקדתי בשבט פשעם. What would happen if the Jews will rebel against me? They don't want to be religious, they don't want to keep the mitzvot, they don't keep my laws. Will I still keep my covenant with them? Or that will be an exception to the rule? That's it, right here. This is what's happening today in the world. Everything is in this mizmor. The answer, ופקדתי בשבט פשעם. What I will do to them, I will punish them with suffering for their crimes. ובנגעים אבונם, with sicknesses for their sins. וחסדי לא אפיר מאמו. But at the same time, I will never take away my kindness with them. ולא אשקר באמונתי, and I will not break my promise. I will not break my promise. לא אחלל בריתי, I will never break my covenant with them. Punishing, yes. Sicknesses, yes. Hitler, yes, יימח שמו. Hamas, yes. Hezbollah, yes. Half a world antisemite, hate Jews, yes. Cancer epidemic in every home, yes. Problems non-stop, yes. You don't want to listen to me, pay the price. But to destroy you from the face of the earth and to break my covenant with the Torah, that I will never do. Why? Because I made a promise to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I can never break my promise. When I say something, it's a done deal. A promise is needless to say. Umotza sfatai lo ashane. I will never change what came out of my mouth when I promised. אחת נשבעתי בקודשי, I swore in my holiness. אם לדוד אחזב, is it possible that I'm going to break my promise to David? To King David, the king of Messiah? זרעו לעולם יהיה, his descendants will remain for eternity. וכיסאו כשמש נגדי, and his kingdom, the chair of the king of David, will stand in front of me just like the sun is standing in front of me. Look at his words. Think about it. If someone would read it in the United Nations, I wish I had the chance to come and read and explain to them what this mizmor, and they all read Psalms, but they don't understand what they read. That's the problem. Or they don't want to understand. Or they want to forget very fast what they just read. כירח יכון עולם. Just like the world is remaining, standing and remaining, ועד בשחת נאמן סלע, and the heaven and earth is standing for good, ואתה זנחת ותמאס התאברת עם משיחיך. You God are angry at us. You're tired of us. You're angry at your king. נערת ברית עבדך, חיללת לארץ נזרו. You put us down to earth. The crown of the king is in the mud. פרצת כל גדרותיו. You broke all the walls around us. שמת מבצריו מחיטה. All the bunkers, all became broken. שעשו כל עוברי דרך, היה חרפה לשכניו. All the people who came against us, they look at us down. We are all the way down. הרימות הימין צרב, הסמכת כל אויביו. You give strength to our enemy to punish us, and they are happy about it. אך תשיב צור חרבו, ולא הקמותו במלחמה. You, after Shiv Tzur Harbo, you took the edge of the sword and turned it away of these enemies. Lo akimoto b'milchama. You did not give him success in the war. Ishbata mitaharo v'chiso la'aretz migarta.
You cancel his glory, shining success, and you cancel the chair, you broke the chair of his kingdom. הקצרת ימי אלומיו, העתית עליו בושה סלע. What did you do? You cut short the way of his kingdoms when he's young. כיסית והלבשת עליו בושה סלע. And you covered him with a sack of shame. עד מה השם תסתר לנצח? Until when השם, you will be hidden forever. תבער כמו אש חמתך, your anger is burning like fire. זכור אני מחלד, remember that I am temporary here. How long would I be here? על מה שב בראת כל בני אדם? Why did you even create human being for? Waste of time. The Gemara speaks about Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, 2.5 years had an argument if it's good that Hashem created us or not. After 2.5 years of argument between the biggest Chachamim in the history of the Jewish nation, eventually they all agree unanimously, it would be better not to be created. But now when we are created, we have nothing to do. We are already here. We might as well get as much as we can from this temporary life before we pay the price. What does it mean? Well, Hashem doesn't know if it's good to create a person or not. Well, he needs our approval if it's good he created us or not, especially when Hashem is the source of all greatness. I made a film in Hebrew now. Hashem is the source of good, so how come there's evil in the world? It's a question that everybody asks. So the answer is, not that it's if it was good to be created or not. Of course it was good to be created. Is it comfortable? The language of the Gemara, Noach lo la'adam shenivra o lo. Noach means comfortable. Did we come here to enjoy the beach? The parks? The mangal? The grill? The sport? The vacation? The jewelry? The food? Fressing all day? There are people who their mouth does not stop a second from moving, grinding. Non-stop. From one delicious thing to another. I saw a person in one event. He was so fat that his stomach almost reached his knees. No exaggeration. And I saw him take a cake more than 1,000 calories. And in 2 bites, he didn't even enjoy the taste of it. 1 bite, second bite, like a person that is starving and he's eating a pita bread when he's hungry. He eats fast. Dessert is supposed to eat little by little, no? You want to enjoy the cream, the 1 bite, second bite, shove the whole thing inside his mouth. That's what he came to the world for? Of course not. Noach lo shenivra? No, no, no. There's a very hard job here. You did not create for a picnic. Adam la'amal yulad. A person is created for hard work. Therefore, all the people in the world who wants to be in a picnic constantly do not fulfill the purpose of their creation. Wasting 70, 80 years here. No Torah, no hard work, no chesed, no working on their character, not improving their midot, not giving from what they have to others. They came to the world to be kings. No, no, no. You're a servant here. You're not a king. You want to be a king, then you'll be a servant for eternity. You will be a servant over here, then you'll be a king for eternity. Which one of the two you want? You want to be king for 70 years and a servant for eternity? Or you prefer to be a servant 70 years and then a king for eternity? Put the things in the right perspective, the right order. Don't take important and make it not important, and not important make it important. You cannot cheat me. You cannot fool me. So it says, you created people. I wonder for what? Mi gever yichye velo yireh mavet. Who would live forever and will not die? Yemalet nafsho miyad she'ol sela. Anyone can escape the grave? You know anyone who will stay to live here forever? There's one thing we guarantee and we know for sure. Only one thing in life. What is it? That we all die. Nothing else we know. If we'll die rich or poor, we don't know. If we'll die healthy or not, we don't know. What age we'll die, we don't know. We don't know anything. If we'll have children, if they stay alive, if we have grandchildren, we don't know anything. Where we'll be living in the time of death, we don't know. How are we going to die? We don't know. Really nothing we know. How much Torah we will remember when we be 80 or 90? We don't know. There's only one thing we do know. One day we'll die. That's it. Right? If there was a stock now, one day you die, you make $1 million. Choose one of the two. One day I will not die. If you won't die, you make $1 million. If you die, you make $1 million. Do you know anyone who would check one day I will not die? Everyone knows the one thing I put all my money on is that one day I will die. That's it. But when will I go after I die? You will only be able to answer that when you die. Now, you think you're righteous? Think again, maybe not. And even if you are, who's guaranteed that in 30 years you'll still be righteous? I know people used to be great learners in yeshiva. Great, strict, everything. One day they got a job offer to be a rabbi somewhere, I don't know, LA, Florida, New York, Long Island, doesn't matter where. They moved from Yerushalayim, they came to America or to South Africa, America, or you know, places. Then they started to get a salary and they started to meet rich people and the rich people started to give them all kinds of business investments and their belly started to grow and all of a sudden he's 500 pounds, this Talmid Chacham, and he has a $100 tie and a $30,000 watch and a nice Lexus and beautiful mansion, $20,000 chandelier. And where is Hashem in his life? Not even 1% as he used to be. No. So when he was in yeshiva, the shining learner of the yeshiva back in the day, did he ever imagine he would end his life, a low life like this, Rasha Merusha, that walks with a special jacket like he's a dayan in a bed din, and does all the crimes that you can imagine? Did he ever imagine that one day he will end like that? And some people who used to be naked on a beach, hair, drugs, who knows what, and they ended up like Rabbi Uri Zohar, used to be a movie star, naked in his films, no shirt, all kinds of stupid jokes, the clown of Israel, and became one of the biggest tzaddikim in the world, sitting from morning to night in his tiny house, gave up all the glory, Hollywood, movies, filmmaking, all day sits and learns Torah from one chevruta to the other. Thousands of children he moved from public school to yeshivot. There's no end to his reward, to his merit. He used to be the biggest clown and the biggest rasha and became the biggest tzaddik and the greatest guy. 80 years old already. When he was with his curls naked on the movies, and everyone were making fun on his jokes, stupid jokes on the beach of Tel Aviv, not one person in the whole world ever imagined that one day he would be such a holy rabbi. And how many great people in yeshivot ended up, I don't want to tell you where. Some of them are in jails. There's nothing we can guarantee for ourselves, except we know one thing, one day we'll die. The question is, where are we going to go? So this is what he writes here, and time is running out, so we will have to finish here. So it says, Zechor Hashem cherpat avadecha. Hashem, please remember the shame of your servants. Seti becheki kol rabim amim. That we, the Jews, carry more shame than any other nation. This was written 3,000 years ago. You can add 3,000 more years of shame to this verse now. This was only 300 years after the Torah was given. And the storage of shame was packed. We had lots of shame to be ashamed of and punishments. Add 3,000 more years to this. Zechor Hashem cherpat avadecha. Shame. Please don't forget our shame. Consider it in a time of judgment. We got a lot for what we deserve. We deserve it, but at least we paid some of our dues. Seti becheki kol rabim amim. You took the shame of all the nation and threw it on us. Asher cherfu oivecha Hashem. How much they humiliated us, these goyim, these Gentiles. How much? There's no words that can describe how much. Asher cherfu ikvot meshichecha. They made fun. They laugh. The Jews, you believe your Messiah would come one day and save you? Baruch Adonai leolam, amen v'amen. That's how this mizmor end. And that's how the lecture always end. Baruch Adonai leolam, amen v'amen. You should know we finished. Now, chapter 89. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, we start chapter 90, which is the fourth book. That's what we read on Thursday. So we are already on Thursday. Now we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're done the series. We finish Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But we finish 90 mizmorim from 150. That's 65% we finished. Bezrat Hashem, this was, I think, the 29th lecture. So I estimate 50 lectures, this whole series. That's my guess. Another 20 lectures and it will be done. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen v'amen.